Amen. There you go. That'll work. It sure is good to be here tonight. So thankful to see you. It looks like maybe we missed the storm. Maybe we can miss it all together. All that kind of good stuff. I know it's kind of rainy and groggy, what have you. But we found out that the bridge is out. We learned that a little while ago. I was talking to Brother Mike about that. We learned that that's out. But that's part of life sometimes. But before I get started, I do want to say thank you very much for the birthday gathering on Sunday. Thank you. And I have to say, you know, some people ask, did you know? I didn't know. Brandy was telling me he was doing something else and all that kind of stuff. So that's where my mind was at. And so you guys got me. It's pretty good. You got Brother Terry, too, I believe. So he's back there, too. So we got a short business conference tonight. But again, it really is good to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord, and just all your many blessings. I know there's so much to be in prayer for. And God, we just pray and ask for your help. God, those who are in the hospital in need of healing, God, we pray and ask that you be with them and help them. And God, those that are here, different things on their hearts and minds, God, we pray that you help them also. Just help us all tonight in the way that we need help, and help us to be receptive and listening to what you have for us, God, and just ever learning what we see and find in your word, and that we can take it and apply it. Help us be the Christians that you've called us to be. But Lord, just please help us. Go with us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to, let's turn to Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter number 13. It's funny because I think sometimes when you hear the topic, you'll think politics, but it's not really political. Shouldn't even really be political in nature, just to be completely honest with you. And that's a man-made thing. When you look at the Bible and how it's set up, it's not set up with sides and all this kind of stuff and what have you, political parties and all that kind of stuff. It's not set up that way. If you go back before Samuel and back before Saul, it was a theocracy. You had one God, that's it. And that's who you better follow. But you know, in this day and time, it's still that way, although there's an order to things. And I definitely want to say that God is a God of order. He always has been, he always will be, and he is never out of order. You and I are the ones, if there's things that's misplaced or out of place, that always falls to us. But I want to read this to us tonight to get us started in our church constitution part, what it actually says there. It says, "We believe that God has ordained and created all authority consisting of three basic institutions. Number one being the home, two the church, and then three the state. Every person is subject to these authorities, but all, including the authorities themselves, are answerable to God and governed by his word. God has given each institution specific biblical responsibilities and balanced those responsibilities with the understanding that no institution has the right to infringe upon the other. The home, the church, and the state are equal and sovereign in their respective biblically assigned spheres of responsibility under God." And so we, in reading this, it's important that we understand that we never get out of being accountable. That's one thing that I think I see under attack a whole lot is people trying not to be accountable to somebody else, whether it be a body, whether it be at church or at home. People want to get out of accountability. I want what I want. And things get out of order that way. And it's kind of interesting. I was thinking earlier as I had been studying and thinking about a good maybe illustration of things, but when things are out of order, it just simply, it causes problems. Have you ever found a time in your life that things, when they were out of order, that it was better? Brother Allen, I can't really think of a time. It's like, man, I sure am glad all this is out of order, because now things are just a lot better for me. Most often, it's very, it's troubling, it's hard. When you find things out of order, I think it makes things a lot more difficult. Like traveling 105, this is where it kind of came to my mind today. You know, if you're on a schedule trying to get to certain places at certain times, and I thought, well, you know, we'll get through this. Maybe traffic won't be so bad, and it was backed up. We were backed up here at Clean and Dry, And I thought, my goodness, I need to get to Newland. And I thought, my goodness, I'm going to have to do something. This was yesterday, I guess it was. And I was like, I'm going to have to do something. I'm like, I'll go Baird's Creek. That's exactly what I'll do. And so this is what I did. I pulled out, Brother Garrett, I pulled out and waving at all the people sitting in traffic. And I'm, you know, hitting the side there. And I go in to turn in to come down toward the church. And I saw the detour sign, road closed. I thought, no. And I stopped for a second, and I looked, and then I turned right back, and then I pulled back in. I thought, these guys are thinking I'm doing this on purpose. I played the system, but I didn't know. I didn't know till we got here. And then I pulled in, and I sit there, and I waited just like everybody else. But when things are out of order, it causes a lot of hardship, and it always does. And you look at life and how it is. God is a God of order. He wants things to be a certain way. But now, if the traffic wasn't stopped, you just keep on going. You don't really notice it. You don't really pay attention. When things are working the way they're supposed to work, it's like we can almost just take it for granted. It's like, man, this is smooth because it's working right. It's when things go wrong that we see the hiccups in it and we see the problems in it. And I tell you, when you look at creation, you look at government, you look at the home, you look at all those things that are being attacked, you can tell who is trying to cause the disorder. Very simply, very plainly, when you read it, or when you see it, but looking at this here in Romans chapter number 13, this is where we see where government is set up in the Bible, biblically. Now, what you're going to find at every level that we're going to be talking about tonight, the number one key is the Lord having your heart. Whoever that may be, whether it's in government, whether again, if you want to say politics or our leaders, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, if God does not have that person's heart, there will be disorder. There will be problems. That person, those people will be seeking self-serving ideas and what have you versus seeking what God would have for them. And that's why you see so many problems today. You see it in the home, in the state, in the church. But let's look here, Romans 1, I'm sorry, 13, 1 through 7 is the verses I want us to look at. And it's very basic. It gives us the outline so we can understand where power comes from. And I'll go ahead and preface this by saying, if you are on the side of God, you are on the right side regardless of what anybody else is doing. You say, well, I know that. That's obvious. No, sometimes it's not so obvious. Sometimes you're the one trout going up the stream by yourself. But if you're going the way God is going, it's the right way. So don't be discouraged. When this thing winds down and winds up and the Lord comes back and we get to see Him face to face, reality is really going to set in. And that's the time when things are going to be set right. So I want us to know, look what it says here in verse number 1. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Okay, that means that we are supposed to listen to authority. We have law enforcement. We have rules, orders, different things, laws that are set in place. So that makes sense. That's easy to follow there. But look what it says here. For there is no power but that of God. Without God, there's no power. If we try to serve ourselves, or if we're following after things that are not ordained of God, it's self-serving, that there's no power in that. It's vain. All power, what the Bible tells us, there's no power but that of God. And so if we're following Him, we know that we're following the right path of the power. The powers that be are ordained of God. So when you're wanting to make the right decision, even if everybody else is making the wrong decision, you stay with God. That's the powerful side. That's the right side that you want to stay on. And then it says here, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You're asking for trouble. If Jason goes after what Jason wants and doesn't listen to what God says and the authority that he's laid down, I am asking for trouble. The Bible even goes as far as to say damnation. You're facing chastisement, facing complete ruin by not following what God has in store for us. Now, this kind of sets out what a ruler is supposed to be. You see in these next verses here, it lays out how a ruler is supposed to be, not a dictator, not one that is self-serving, not one that does what he wants to do, and everybody else just listen to him blindly and just do what he says. I think we run into problems that way sometimes when people hold a specific office or a specific place. People think, well, we're supposed to follow them because they're in that place. Well, you and I both know, we all know there are people in the wrong places. There's people in places they're not supposed to be in or shouldn't be in. And how in the world can we listen to them? There's going to be a conflict when you look at it that way. But this is describing what a ruler is supposed to be, a true leader for God. It says, for rulers are not a terror unto good works. So if you're following God's plan, you're following God's power, the ruler is not a terror to those good works. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then that there's no fear is what the Bible's teaching. You say, well, what if man has a different idea? That's his problem. God's going to correct that. If he's going off by himself in a different direction from what God has ordained, he is on his own, and he will absolutely take account for that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So that means a good leader will stand up against evil things. Enough courage, enough bravery that they're going to stand up and they're going to face it head on. I tell you, a place of leadership is not a place to be afraid of confrontation, because it will happen. There's not one person in here that, if you're willing to stand for something, will not face a confrontation somewhere. It's going to happen. That's the difference between yes and no and right and wrong. And God outlines that, and what we're supposed to do is stay on the right side that God has placed us on, be on his side. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? That's to say, are you not afraid that if you do something wrong, if you're stepping out of line, will you not respect that power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. That's what is so hard about this world, because you have God going one way, and you absolutely have the world going another. It takes, again, bravery, courage. It takes people willing to stand up for what's right. Not being a yes man or a yes woman, but being willing to stand up for what's right even when it's not popular. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Look what it says right here. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? How would you say that? That's fighting words. That's standing up against opposition. You know, sometimes it's like, well, let's just agree that to disagree. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes people won't let it be like that. And then yes has to be yes, no has to be no. And that's just where it lies. That's where it is. And you look at verse number 5, it says, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. That is something probably that has been, I guess, I don't know exactly how to word it, something that I guess how I am built. If I have something on my conscience, it will bother me until I get it right. Until I make it right, till I get it right, it's there. And I love the spirit of reconciliation. I love setting things right. Now, it takes two people to reconcile. It takes two sides to reconcile. I think we all know that and understand that. But again, for conscience sake, knowing, hey, I am doing what's right, even if it's not popular, because I know for conscience sake why I'm doing it. Because God asked me to do it. And just being able to stand on it, even if it hurts, even if it's fearful. You know, here's the thing. One day we're going to face God. And who knows what kind of trial or test that really is for us. When you face him, remember that trial you went through? You did right. I would much rather hear God say, you got it right, versus making people happy that got it wrong. That's not always easy. A lot of times I'd say much harder than easy. But we see what the Bible teaches here. It says, for this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. That's pretty straightforward. Talking about living a peaceable life. And if people, if everybody is following after God, that simplifies that process 100%. What makes it hard is when you have leadership, bad leadership, and you've got good followers that don't want to follow bad leadership. And that's completely understandable. We see it in government constantly, all the time. Now, let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 22 through 24. So when you see that there, you'll see it at all levels that we're talking about tonight. This is talking about in relation to government. We see what the government has, how it's supposed to be ran. And then you see how it's being ran, which is not how it's supposed to be ran, what you see on TV every day. It's a continual fight. But you see in relationship to the home how it's supposed to be set up, but then also you're going to see in relationship to our home, or in government, and next here, in relationship to home life, how home life is supposed to be. There's an order. You can't have two chiefs. There has to be a chief and an Indian. That's probably not the right thing to say. I don't think you can say that anymore. I just done messed up, didn't I? You have to have a head and a second head. How about that? There has to be an order to things. There has to be somebody that's willing to say, this is what we're going to do based off of these, based off the Word of God, this is what we're going to do. And then you have to have somebody say, you know what, I like that idea. I see what you're saying based on the authority of God's Word. I'm willing to follow with you and do that. That's how that's supposed to work. It starts at home. If we see that disrupted at home, then you see it disrupted at all the other places that we're talking about tonight. And I want us to see this, I mean, plainly as it is, and not lose sight of what it's talking about, because I think sometimes this has been deemed as negative verses, but it's not when it's done God's way. I'll be honest with you. There's times and situations I've been in, I'm like, would somebody else want to lead on this one? I mean, have at it. You know, this is a hard one. I don't see a good outcome for this. And if you want this one, you go ahead and take it. You know, it's hard like that sometimes, just being honest. But you see the importance of following the order that God has set for us. Again, in relation to home life. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, you can look at that all many different ways. There's a lot of different personalities, type A personalities and all that kind of stuff. There's get up and go personalities. There's slothful personalities, what have you. There's all kinds of personalities. But now, here's something that we have to grasp and understand. You throw personalities out the window when you start following the Word of God. It don't matter just how Jason is. It don't matter just how you are. What matters is how God is and what He's asking you to do. Many times, what we'll see is, well, that's just how that person is. He's just that way. She's just that way. When we accept Christ, there's a new way. We're supposed to be under new management, new leadership. So what the flesh wants, what I want, I have to see what the Lord wants. And you step back and say, Lord, what do you want? That's the only way things are going to work out. If you have a husband wanting to go one way and a wife going another, how are you going to reconcile that? There has to be some way of coming together. And the only way that you can truly come together is if you're both following God. That's the only way. I would find it very hard if you had a wife that is, let's say, spiritual or trying to follow God with a husband who is not. How in her right mind, if she knows that's wrong, how can she follow after that? That's wrong. It's so plain and so clear. But you know, I think sometimes what people have said or have kind of got it in their mind, the husband's the head of the house and whatever he says goes. You think the Lord deals with us that way? And what I mean by that is absolutely what He says goes. But you're going to see that's the order in which He's given to us. How would you want the Lord to deal with you? That's how I look at things, Brother Garrett. That's how I look at it. If I think it's important to be the leader that I would follow. be the type of person that I would be willing to follow, that I wouldn't have any problems to follow. I say it like this. I've talked to people in counseling that are getting married. I've talked to the bride-to-be, and I've told her, you look across at who you said you're engaged to, that you said you're wanting to marry. If you cannot defer to his judgment, leave now. Don't say I do. Just say I'm done and break it off. If you can't look across at him and say, you know what, I trust his judgment, I trust how he's going to lead our home, now's the time to leave before it gets further down the road. Because if you don't have that trust, you're going to start butting heads. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But see, it puts it back on the husband. It puts it back on the man to be the man of God that he's supposed to be. And who wouldn't want to be that? Who wouldn't want to be who God has called them and ordained them to be? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You see how it ties it back in together. Submit yourself to your husband just as you would to the Lord. Do godly is what it's saying here, as unto the Lord. Be a godly spouse. And then he goes on to say, verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. That puts it right back squarely on the husband. You be the husband that you're supposed to be. I think one of the biggest things that I see, and I saw it myself looking back, my goodness, if I knew the things then that I feel that I know now and have learned, I think I would have tried to be a much more mature husband at a younger age than what I was. I guess you could say that on both sides. I mean, when you look at people getting married 18, what have you, that's kids getting married. I mean, my goodness. Trying to figure things out. Sometimes people are more mature for their age and sometimes less mature. Takes time to catch up, and then you try to make those things up. Some of the mistakes you make early on in life, they're hard to forget. You know, man, I wish I'd have grasped this much earlier in my life, and maybe how that would have helped my marriage, and maybe how that would have helped my children, and just that foundation. But guess what? It's in the Word of God. Everything that we're talking about has always been there. It just depends on if we're willing to apply it or not. And so again, the husband, he is the head of the wife, but he immediately the Bible compares him to Christ. Now that's some big shoes to fill. Again, think about how Christ deals. I look at it like this. When I faced hard situations, I'm like, Lord, I know I have to deal with this, but how do you want me to handle this? What's the right way to handle this? And then immediately in my heart, I get to thinking about, if I was in that situation, how would I want the Lord to deal with me? I like the word patience, not if I have to give it, but if I'm receiving it. I like the love grace if I'm receiving it. I like the word mercy if I'm receiving it. And you see, that's how I want the Lord to deal with me. And you know what the Lord says? Well, then that's how you're supposed to deal with other people. That's how you're supposed to deal with them. You create that order. That's how you're supposed to deal with your wife, deal with your children. Discipline is a hard thing to deal with and work through sometimes, but God has made a way for that to be. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. And again, that squarely puts it back on the husband. If the husband is doing what he's supposed to do, that's really going to help the home be in line the way it's supposed to be in line. You know, every time I go through these verses, I feel like it's, well, that's what you have to say. That's good in theory. I'll tell you this, on the authority of the Word of God, it will work in practice if we do it. That doesn't mean everything's going to be easy, but I tell you, if you can go back and if your wife can see that, hey, you pull out the Word of God, that means you've been reading it, you've been studying it, you've been praying, and you go through a situation and you're working through it, and you're not just your idea, it's the Word of God, I think that should build some trust. And it'll help us mature and help us to grow, again, in relation to our home life. I look at, if you like to, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. I got one more place to go before we get there. And I know we have a business conference, and just a short one. As you're turning to 1 Peter 2, talking about church life, that's what this is making reference to here in Hebrews 13. All these line up together. Just as you would cast your ballot for somebody, you'd want to know about them, their voting history, their track record, how they've handled situations. You watch them and you see how they handle situations and deal with things, and then the stands that they make. You'd say, I'll back that person and vote for them, or you wouldn't, based off the same criteria like that. Then also you see just in the same thing there in the home also. You see how it comes up when you decide to marry that woman or marry that man, whatever the case may be there. There should be qualities there that says, hey, I can live with this person, I think I can live with this person. I think we can work through these things. And based off of this criteria, going to church, being faithful in church, being faithful and knowledgeable about the Word of God. You see how these things line up here. And likewise, this talks about the elders in the church, talks about preachers. I believe it would even go into teachers, deacons, and what have you also. But it really puts a unique responsibility on a person. When I think about being called to preach, it was a different, there's a weight that you could feel. But then again, when you're at the front of something, you don't know exactly what that weight's going to feel like later on down the road. You don't know. You don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what life has and what it's going to bring. You just don't know. But as you go through things and you feel that weight, you start to mature and grow in that. But Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls. I can't think of a bigger responsibility than that. Thinking about churches, Randy and I were talking about, you know, several churches without pastors and what have you. That's a vulnerable place to be. Who do you go to? I mean, maybe you have mom and dad or different people in your life, but I want you to know the role of a pastor is a very important role. Feel the weight of that in many different ways. When you look at it here, it's not talking about finances and physical things, but look what it says. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. What is more important than that? What could be more heavy than that? You think about what people are facing, what people are going through, most importantly, those who are lost. You seeing those people's faces on Sunday, praying for them throughout the week, and just, Lord, give me the right words if it's something I need to say, if it's something I need to do. And just looking after people's souls, looking after their well-being, mentally, the different things people are facing and what they're going through. And again, it's just asking, it feels weird saying this, but it's the truth. When you have somebody that is willing to study and willing to pray and try to go to bat for you and try to help you, it would pay for you to listen. I've heard people argue points about the Word of God, and they haven't even read things in the Word of God. They don't have a leg to stand on, but they want to fight you. I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, what do you believe? Well, I don't know, but I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, base it on something. I mean, have you spent time in the Word of God for yourself to find out for yourself? Or you just want to argue a point and say, I just don't think I like that. Therefore, I'm going to argue with you over that. See, that's not the place to be. If you have a person that loves you and cares for you, it pays, and studying, it pays to listen to what they have to say when they're giving you good advice. And again, it says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. They have a deep care for you, as they that must give account. Now, that's the heavy part. You know, it's not about just giving advice that sounds good. It's not about giving advice to make somebody maybe feel better in a bad situation. I have to say this. A lot of times when people call me or when we're talking, it's because they're going through a hardship, not necessarily a good time, an easy time. Now, those times do come too, just to be honest. But a lot of times it's the heavier things. But the Bible says right here, help them, but you're going to give account to what you tell them. You can't get in the flesh. You can't say, well, this is just how so-and-so is, and if I tell so-and-so this, they're going to get mad at me.
I can't do that. They're going to get mad at me. They might quit coming to church or something, or they might this, or they might that. The Word of God says you're accountable for what you tell them. It's not about appeasement all the time. Sometimes it's like, look, I know this isn't an easy thing, but if you and I are going to align with the Word of God, then this is what we're going to have to do. It's because of what he's saying. It's holding the man of God accountable. As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. It's not, again, something that's should be done with a bad spirit, a bad heart. Number one, if you don't love people and you don't care about people, God's not calling you to preach. I'll just go ahead and check that one off. There's a level of love that has to be there, a level of care that has to be there, a level of patience that has to be there. I think the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, looking at different things, is peopling. It's the hardest thing. A lot of people, you know, are critics about this, about that. A lot of people will criticize. A lot of people will compare. But there's only one you. There's only one me. That's the way God created it to be. That's just how it is. But I tell you, it's a special thing when the Lord aligns these things up. But I'm going to close out here in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 13 through 14. And actually, the title that I have in this section in my Bible, again, it says grace means submission. Grace has been a topic a lot this week. Even heard some preaching on that again today. You know, just thinking about grace. But grace means submission. It's talking about the Lord giving things. And again, here into government, verses 13 and 14, it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That means be a rule follower, a law follower. That speed limit sign is there for a reason. These different things. Not always, but most often the laws that we see are for our protection and for our betterment. But, you know, in recent years, you can see laws have been made that's anything but that. Again, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. I think you'll see that kind of lining up with what we have in our judicial system. That's another job that I don't know what that would be like. I've seen it in court personally, and you see it on TV, and that'd be a hard thing, you know, to be able to be the one that does that. And I think you have laws in place. This crime is punishable by this, and this is what the person gets and what have you. But tonight, again, in our church constitution, talking about civil government, there's an order to it. That's important that we seek out those who obviously are like-minded, willing to follow God. And I think sometimes, I'm not saying that they're not here today. There are some, but I think maybe few and far between. And I think sometimes, too, politics ruins people because they start getting in between the two parties and start trying to appease, and then you just become an appeaser versus a leader. And that's not a good thing or a good place to be. But I'm going to stop right there. I wonder if anybody